Well, the time has come to get into the Word this morning. We are going to be reading in just a moment from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, as we continue in our series on the Messiah Jesus. And I want to invite all of you to stand in just a moment to read the Scripture together. We read in unison together out of respect, and we stand out of reverence for the Lord's Word. So as we read that Scripture together, would you stand together and let us read in unison. Let us begin. When Jesus had finished saying all this in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. When Jesus, there a centurion servant who his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." And so Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself." One more, if you'd be able to go back one more. But one more. Back one more. I'm sorry. Let's continue. "That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel." When Jesus... Don't you love technology? And then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word, albeit a little choppy. Amen. You may be seated, and I'll ask Randy Denny to come and pray over the word this morning.
Let's pray. Thank you for this time, Lord. Just anoint Pastor Tom that your word would come forward, your peace that passes all understanding. Overshadow him. We thank you, Lord, that you're the author and finisher of our faith, Lord. You have everything under control. Just have your way today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Luke chapter 7, and there is also in the bulletin an outline that will go along with the outline of the sermon and also the PowerPoint if you find that helpful. We're continuing our series, Gospel of Luke, Messiah Jesus. Jesus who has come and revealed himself as the Messiah, the chosen, the anointed one of God, sent to his people first Israel and then to the whole world. As we look at this message titled, "Am I Under Authority?" This message is really about an understanding of Messiah Jesus' grace and authority. That's really the theme of this message. And by way of introduction, let me tell you a little story. In the summer break, summer vacation of 1983, I had come home from college, and I took a job working for a contractor in Point Pleasant, New Jersey. And the task that we had at hand was to side a house with cedar shakes. And that was something new for me that I had to learn. And the one that was to teach me how to do it was the boss's son. Now, as the boss's son worked alongside of me, I discovered that he really liked to cut up. He was a jokester. In fact, what would happen is that whenever his father would come onto the work site, and his father would be giving us instructions. Now, you got to understand, we're from New Jersey, and some of us, you know, talk a little funnier than others, you know, especially if you're from North Jersey. And so his father would come onto the work site, and he would begin to give us some instructions. And being Italian, he talked a lot with his hands. And so he would come up and say, okay, you guys, you gotta get the siding done this day. Here's how you do it. This is the section I want you. And his son invariably would work his way slowly behind his father and imitate him. He would be like making fun of his father while his father was talking. And of course, I'm standing there and I'm trying to hold it in. I'm trying to keep a straight face. I'm biting my lip because he is just cracking me up. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but I'm telling you, it's hard. Well, one time, his father noticed that I'm trying to bite my lip, trying not to laugh, and he turned around and he caught his son mimicking him, imitating him like this. And boy, did he chew him out. And I can't tell you the words that he used with his son. So this guy was a character, and especially when he got upset, he would get so upset and he'd be like, I told you guys this way. What's wrong with you guys? Don't you want, are you stupid or something? Don't you understand? And then within a moment, he'd realize what he was doing. He'd be like, okay, all right. And he would kind of back off. I mean, you got some characters in New Jersey. You really do. Well, what would happen is that as soon as his father would leave, his son would go over and sit down and proceed to watch me work. And then he would invite, he'd say, hey, Tom, come sit down, you know, take a load off, man, take it easy. Don't worry about it. You know, my dad, he thinks he's the authority, but he's really not. He says, I'm in charge. He says, just take it easy. And of course, I didn't listen to that. You know, I kept working, you know, because what I realized was that he was not the authority. His father was the authority, and this son was not under his father's authority. He was not putting himself under his father's authority. No, he was taking the authority himself. As we look at the story here, oppositely, this centurion, who is a non-Jew, has authority over 100 soldiers, 100 trained men. That's what a centurion had. The way that the Roman army was organized is that a centurion had authority over 100 men, and they were organized, you know, through these centurions. Well, this man had authority. He was a Roman centurion. He had great authority. He actually had the authority of the life of these soldiers in his hand. If one of them did something that was wrong, he could actually have that soldier whipped and even a charge of treason brought against him where execution would be considered. He had great authority. But this man put himself under Messiah Jesus' authority. And because he did that, because he had the right faith, because Jesus said he had great faith, his servant was healed. This man put himself under Messiah's authority. How about you? Are you under Messiah Jesus' authority? Let's talk about it together. The main point then from this passage is this, that Jesus is amazed when we have a right account of ourselves and when we understand and have faith in his authority as the Messiah. This is only one of very few times that Jesus is amazed. There are other couple times where he's amazed at people's lack of faith. He's amazed at the way that they reject him. But in this particular case, he's amazed at this centurion, this non-Jew, he's amazed at his faith. Why? Because he's amazed when we have a right account of ourselves, when we understand and we have faith in his authority as the Messiah. In fact, Jesus said in verse 9, he says, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. What is he saying? He's saying, you know what? You Jewish people, you're my peeps. You know? And I have not found faith like this among you. No, this centurion, this non-Jew, he has great faith. I believe Jesus longs to see great faith in you and me. I believe he longs to see it. But it begins with having a right account of ourselves in relationship to Him and relationship to others. You see, by having a great faith in myself, it means I first have a right account of myself, and knowing myself and knowing that I don't deserve anything, I then put myself under His authority. I listen to Him. I obey Him. Listen, to put oneself under one's authority means that I do what they say. This son that I worked with was not doing what his father said. He could say all day long, "Oh yes, I'm putting myself under your authority, Dad." But he wasn't, because he wasn't doing what his father said. In fact, he was bucking his father's authority. Having a great faith means I put myself under Jesus' authority by obeying Him. When He says go, I go. When He says come, I come. When He says do this, I do it. I don't make excuses. I don't justify disobedience. I don't say no, Lord. And really, being under His authority, listen, being under His authority means it affects all of my relationships. It's not just me and God. Sometimes a lot of us have this me and God kind of mentality. You know, I'm straight with God, you know, and as long as I'm straight with Him, it really doesn't matter what other people think. It doesn't really matter my relationships with them. You know, as long as I'm all right with God, everything's cool. No, sir. No, ma'am. That's not Jesus' words to you and to me. It affects every relationship in my life. How so? You see, because if I am submitting my life to Christ, that means I'm obeying His Word. And Jesus' greatest command was to love one another, was it not? He says, "A new command I give to you, love one another. By this all people shall know that you are my disciples, with the love that you have for one another." And so that's one of His greatest commands, love one another. How are we doing in that department? How are you doing in loving one another? Jesus says to you, in relation to your brothers and sisters, says, love one another. He says, bear with each other. Bear with each other's failures. He says, forgive one another. Oh, Pastor, I do that. Really? I think sometimes we stuff things down and we think that that's forgiveness. That's not forgiveness. Let me ask you something. Is there a person that you think about, and when you think about them, all of a sudden something rises up in you, an anger rises up in you, something rises up in you, and you know there is something between you and that person? You haven't forgiven that person. You haven't let it go. And being under Jesus' authority means I obey what He says. He says, listen, He says, you are to forgive one another from your heart. Let's not even go to the second part where He says, for if you cannot forgive your brother, if you cannot forgive your sister, then you cannot be forgiven. Ooh, man. That's tough. That's hard. Yeah, it is. And the impossibility is not with God. The impossibility is with us. How can you receive forgiveness in and of yourself when you have a hard heart towards your brother, towards your sister? Jesus says, to you, husbands and wives. Oh, Pastor, you about ready to stomp on some toes? You bet I am. I've had my toes stomped on all week long. And now I get to share that with you. And it's not me stomping on your toes, it's the Lord if He's speaking to you. Husbands and wives. It says, wives. Let's start with the husbands first. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for, sacrificed Himself for. Husbands, how are you doing in that department? Loving your wife. 1 Peter tells us, husbands, don't speak harshly to your wives, but bear with them as the weaker vessel. And if you have issues, clear them up, because, this is Tom's translation, clear them up, because otherwise your prayers are going to be hindered. How are we doing in that department? How are you loving your wife? Giving yourself for her. Are you speaking harshly to her? You got the tood going on? I fail at that all the time. But I think little by little, with God's grace and power, I think I'm starting to overcome. Am I doing better, baby? A little bit. I got to take that serious. See, I can't say, oh yes, I'm submitted to you, Lord Jesus, but then I disobey His commands. Children, obey your parents as is fitting in the Lord. Fathers, do not be harsh with your children, but raise them up in the fear and the knowledge of the Lord. Children and parent relationships. Man, that's a tough one, isn't it? But we got to work at it. Parents, let me ask you a question. Not just fathers, both of you, mom and dad. When you fail, when you do something that offends, that hurts your child, do you go to them and admit that you've blown it? Admit that you have failed and ask their forgiveness? How are they going to learn to do that if you won't? I know some parents that have this mentality that, you know, I'm just never going to show weakness with my child. You know, I'm certainly not going to be vulnerable with them. Why? You want them to be vulnerable? Do you want them to have a sensitive, tender spirit that they would ask for your forgiveness, that they would come to you and say, you know, I blew it. I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? Are you setting the pace? Are you setting the example, parents? It goes with everything. Our boss, our teachers, if you're in school, in classes, it has to do with the way that we react and relate to one another in every aspect, in every sphere of life. Maybe you have an issue like I do of reacting too quickly, speaking and saying things before you should. Are you making that right? What about the whole issue of gossip? Listening to things second and third hand about other people. And not only listening, but then repeating it to other people. You know, and we call that, we want people to pray with us. That is a thin disguise for gossip. We need to repent of that. We need to stop that. Jesus says, you shall not gossip. What you're doing is you're cutting your brother, you're cutting your sister down. Listen, we want to have the benefit of the doubt. And if we want that, why should we not give that to others? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Oh, listen, folks, we are still, though we may be walking with Jesus many years, we are still arrogant. We are still prideful. We are still impatient. We are still narrow-minded and judgmental at times. And we have to deal with ourselves. And then, when we do that, when we humble ourselves before the Lord, it tells us He lifts us up. When we try to cover our sin, He works hard to uncover it. But the moment that we uncover it, we admit it, then He works hard to cover it. Love covers a multitude of sins. Well, let's break it down in a few minutes that we have together. Number one, the elders of the Jews had it wrong. They thought that this centurion, listen, they thought that this centurion deserved Jesus' healing for his servant. You know, verse 4 and 5, he says to them, you know, this man loves our nation. This man loves our nation. And this man, hey Jesus, this man built our synagogue. He's on the Rotary Club. And he's built our synagogue. This man deserves for you to come to him, Jesus. And so Jesus goes with them. But you know what? I don't think Jesus believed what they were saying, that this man deserved it. No, I believe he went to see who this centurion was. He went to see what this was going to be all about. He is interested to see what this non-Jew, who they spoke so highly of, was all about. And the reality, the truth is that this person, this centurion, did not deserve Jesus' favor. In fact, he knows it. He says this to Jesus as Jesus is coming, so much so that he won't even approach Jesus himself. He sends friends to represent him to Jesus, and he says, Jesus, I'm not worthy to have you even come under my house. Does any person deserve Jesus' favor and grace? Do we think that? None of us deserve anything from God except separation in hell because of our sins. Listen, Romans 3, 10 through 12. I thought it was very interesting that Randy, in his prayer time, brought this scripture up. Now, Randy, you didn't cheat and look at my notes, did you? He shared the scripture that I'm about to read. Romans 3, 10 through 12. There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All of us have turned away and together have become worthless. There is no one who does good, no, not one. And so, in and of ourselves, we're speaking of, we don't deserve God's goodness. We don't deserve God's favor in and of ourselves. There's many people that believe that they are deserving of God's grace and favor. There's many people that believe that, you know, because of the good that they've done and outweighs the bad, you know, it's sort of that scale of divine justice, you know. The good that I'm doing outweighs the sin that I've committed, the bad that I've done. And God says, no, your sin has outweighed your good. He says the cost of a soul is very expensive through the prophet Ezekiel. He said no one can purchase anyone's soul. But you know, not just those who have not yet come to know God, but even believers, even those who say they know God, they may think they're deserving in themselves of His blessings because of their good deeds. How many times do we get the attitude that, you know, God, you owe me? Man, I've been serving you all these years, God. I've come to church faithfully. I have given you all this money over these years, God. You owe me. You know, maybe we don't say it in those words, but something really terrible happens. Something bad happens. You're like, what's up with this, God? I don't deserve this. And we put our hands on our hips and say, you know, who do you think you are, God? And we may not say it in these words, but we certainly say it in our actions and sometimes our attitude. You know, I deserve better than this, God. Is that you? Thinking that you deserve God's goodness and blessings because, you know, you've earned a lot of brownie points. Time to cash it in. It doesn't work that way with God. None of us are deserving, including me. None of us. We've all sinned and fall short of God's requirement, His standard. And so we're told in the Word in another place, Romans 7, verse 18, speaks again of our lives in and of ourselves. Joe Sanchetta is going to read that scripture for us.
I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out.
Wow. You know who's professing, you know who's confessing this? The great Apostle Paul. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my flesh, my sinful nature. In other words, in and of myself, there's nothing good in me. I have the desire to do what is good, but I can't carry it out. You see, it's only Jesus in us that makes us good. Only Jesus, by His Spirit in us, that makes us worthy, allows us to receive His righteousness that saves us. And then He makes us able to receive His blessings, worthy by His grace to receive His blessings. But the centurion, man, this centurion had it right. He understood correctly that he did not even deserve to have Jesus come to him. You know, it says verses 6 and 7, while Jesus was not far from the house, the centurion sends his friends ahead. And they say to Jesus, Jesus, I don't even deserve to have you come to my house. I don't deserve for you to come near me. He had it right. He recognized he was not worthy. He had a right understanding. Listen, he had a right account of himself. But, watch this, you stay with me, say amen. He also had a right faith. See, he didn't just stay there thinking that, you know, well, I'm unworthy. You know, I have no basis to come to God. He came because he knew who Jesus was. Look with me at verse 6, where he says, he was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to him to say, Lord, don't trouble yourself. Lord. You see it? He had a right faith. He had a right understanding. He knew who Messiah Jesus was. Now, did he have a full understanding of who Messiah was and all of his anointing and all of His Godhead? No, of course not. But there's one thing he knew. It's the issue of authority. Why? Because he himself was a man of authority. He understood authority. He had authority. The word exousia means to the right to reign, the right to be in charge. He's delegated to be the one in charge. He understanding of authority. He says to Jesus, I am in charge, and I say to this one, go, and he goes. I say to that one, come, and he comes. I say to this one, do this, and they do it. He understood authority. And now he comes. Listen, here's a man, a Roman centurion, very proud people. And centurions, above all, were very proud that they had this charge over soldiers. And so he comes, and he submits himself to Jesus. He calls Jesus Lord. You see, the centurion put himself under Messiah's authority. Lord, I don't consider myself worthy. But watch this. He doesn't stay right there. He says, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. Say the word. I understand who you are, Jesus. You have the authority of God in your life. And I submit myself to you. And all you have to do is say the word, and my servant will be healed. Do we believe in Jesus' authority like that? I mean, have we put ourselves under authority? That's my first question. And then to believe that, Lord, I know who you are, and I know that you can do anything that you want to do. All you have to do is say the word, and it will be done. Because I say the word to my soldiers, and it's done. Wow. I want a faith like that. Don't you? I want to believe God that what He says, He will do. And I don't know about you, but I struggle with that. I pray along with Peter, who spoke for all the disciples, and he said, Lord, I believe, please help my unbelief. Lord, I believe, but I struggle with these doubts. Please help my doubts, my unbelief, Lord. I want a faith like that. How about you? First comes by submitting my life to Him and then obeying Him, obeying His Word. And when we humble ourselves and we obey Him, when we allow Him to be Lord, then we see Him allow us to exercise His authority. Submission comes and obedience to what Jesus says. I didn't bring it up until just now, but I'm going to do it now. There's some of you here, you still haven't been baptized. Jesus says to you and me, be baptized. And if you are a follower of Jesus, you've submitted your life, you've surrendered to Him, He says you need to be baptized. And some of y'all still haven't done it. It's an issue. Guess what? You can do it today. You can surrender to Jesus the Messiah. You can put yourself under His authority and obey Him. Oh, Pastor, I don't want to get in that water. It's going to be cold. No, it's not. It's heated. Oh, Pastor, I don't want to come out looking like a drowned rat. Why not? I'm going to. Oh, Pastor, I'd just be embarrassed in front of all these people. So was I. I had standing in front of a bunch of people. I didn't even know who they were and get baptized. I just started going to the church, and I heard the preacher say, just like I'm saying to you, you need to be baptized. And I obeyed, submitted my life to Him. See, because if we want the blessings and the promises of Christ, then we have to obey and submit our lives to Him. See, if we're in Him, then we are recipients of all His blessings and provisions. That's the good news. That's the good part. When you submit your life, then you can exercise authority. You can receive and give His blessings and His provisions and His goodness. I can tell you by the authority of Christ that because He has given His provision and His promise of forgiveness, I can say to you, if you have believed in Christ, if you have put your faith in Him, you are forgiven. I don't do this on my own authority. I'm not a priest that somehow I exonerate you. I give you absolution. That's a man-made doctrine. But I can tell you on the authority of God's Word, God's promise. He says, if you confess your sins to Him, He is faithful and just and forgives us our sins. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. On the authority of the Word of God, I can say to you, if you confess your sins to Him, He forgives you. You're forgiven. That's a beautiful provision. There are so many other provisions that we can experience. We can exercise His authority and His blessings in our life. 2 Corinthians 1:20 talks about that. Mark Saltonfuss will read that for us.
For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Him, the Amen is spoken to us by to the glory of God.
In Christ, all the blessings and promises of God are yea and amen. Yes. They apply to you and me. Well, I'm just not worthy of that. I know you're not. Neither am I. But because I'm in Christ, I can receive His blessings. And the authority that He has given to me to understand truth, to receive and act on truth, and then to give it to others is right there. Number three, and we'll end with this. Jesus was amazed at the centurion that he not only stood, but he was also exercising Jesus' authority, his authority. He was depending on it. He was standing upon it. And he was acting upon it. He says to Jesus, Jesus, just say the word, and my servant will be healed. What gave him such confidence? Because he was submitted and acting on that authority of Christ. You and I can't exercise his authority unless we're under his authority. We have a right account of ourselves. Understand, I'm not worthy in myself, but as I'm submitted to Him, the Lord, He makes me worthy. He makes me righteous by being in me. I know only because of Him, because that You are in me, Lord. And then when I'm submitted to Him, I can exercise that authority. I can actually offer you the grace of God. I can offer you His forgiveness. It's for my life and it's for you, for all of us. I hope that you will take this message to heart. I hope that you will really consider your life. Am I under the authority of Jesus? Let us pray. Lord, thank You that You love us so much that You have not left us to ourselves. We know that we're not worthy, not deserving in ourselves. But Lord, because of You, because of Your grace, You've come and You've made us worthy. You made Him who knew no sin to become a sin offering for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. Lord, thank You for exchanging Your life for ours and giving us Your righteousness. Lord, I pray for each one here, including myself, that I will submit my life to You every day. And then I'll obey You, Lord. And I'll be able to hear You say all of those things that You want to say and do in my life. And I can say, Lord, just say the word, and I know it will happen. Give us such a great faith, Lord. We thank You for such a story that will challenge us to have a great faith. Lord, I bless these people. I thank You for their patience and their attention to the Word. And now as we close this service and we go over to celebrate baptism with these that are getting baptized, Lord, we pray blessing upon that time. We look forward to celebrating together. I bless You and I praise You in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the people of God said,